Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is brought to you by Manpower of Central Iowa. Manpower, 62 years of finding great people for great companies, manpower.com, and Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do, DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
Welcome back to the News Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Grateful, as always, that you have chosen to be with us this afternoon. And as we wind our way home on a Thursday, the final day of April 2015. Now, where did that month go, huh? I've been looking forward to this time with our guest. Is the president of the Iowa Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO. Ken Sager is a union guy. He's risen in the labor ranks over the past 30 years, originally coming from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And we've got lots to talk about, so let's dig right in. Welcome to the Business News, Ken. Nice to see you again.
Well, nice to see you, and thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. And this is a chance, I think, to really talk about some things that everybody else seems to be talking about, but nobody's hearing the labor side of some stuff. So let's at least have that conversation, okay?
Great.
About a week ago, and I want to digress first. We're going to talk about TTP here in just a minute. But about a week ago, I asked some very unscientific polling questions. And that was, tell me, I did this on Facebook. I've got about 1,600 people that follow me on Facebook. So I just asked the question, tell me, why are you negative or you hate unions? I just want to know. Help me out. And I know. Great question, right? Now, in total, that simple request garnered nearly 100 responses. So that's a pretty good number. Among individuals that were negative to unions was the general feeling that, quote, unions were once important, but since workplaces are safe and workers are making a decent living, unions have outlived their usefulness. And that seemed to be a common theme throughout what folks were talking about. Talk to us.
Okay, that's interesting. Once upon a time, corporations took care of all the workers. True or false?
I believe that's false.
Well, I tell you what, that's why there's unions today, because once upon a time, again, in a land not so far away, we had lots of people dying on the job. Now, I hesitate to use the word only, but this year at our workers' memorial celebration a few days ago on April 28th, we gathered together to commemorate the death of 39 workers in the state of Iowa. I actually sat in that crowd a few years ago when my wife's youngest brother died on the job. And I hesitate to think about the word only in the context of sitting in that crowd. And even if I was the only one sitting there with my wife and her parents, and his name was the only one read, that's one too many. The fact of the matter is, wages aren't rising for most people in this country. In fact, if you factor out inflation over the last 40 years, we fundamentally have seen about a 5.5% increase for the average worker. That's over 40 years. That's not 5.5% per year.
Over 40 years, a 5.5% increase in wages.
Approximately, okay. Yes. And so I would hesitate to say that, you know, things are really going great. I mean, look around at everybody knows somebody, you know, who, whether it's in their family or in their neighborhood, their church, their circle of friends, who've had a difficult time here since the Great Recession started. And the reality is, most of the money that's back in our booming economy, mm-hmm. and our stock market is up there, well, I don't know, 18,000 somewhere. I don't know about you, but I'm not in the top 10%. I'm not garnering all the increases in terms of our economic growth, and neither are most people that are listening here.
Well, one of the things that you just said, and I want to come back to that for just a moment, was the Worker Memorial Day that was on Tuesday.
Sure.
Since going to that and since watching you, and you got pretty emotional during that time period, and now I understand why. It was family members that lost their life, and I get it now. But one of the things that was so surprising to me was I would talk since Tuesday, probably to hundreds of individuals, and say, hey, did you know that on Tuesday there was a memorial for the 39 workers that lost their lives here in Iowa? No. Had no recollection of it. Thought that 39, that's a lot of people. I said, yeah, but that's down from where it used to be. Prior to OSHA being installed, it was like 39 a day.
Well, it's a big number, that's for certain. Back in the 70s when President Nixon signed OSHA into law, I started working after I graduated from high school. We didn't have things like dust masks or bump caps or safety glasses or hearing protection. We didn't have anything. And, you know, it wasn't uncommon that in the power industry that I came out of, you know, people would get black lung disease. We stopped a lot of that stuff. But, you know, there's still people dying. Tens of thousands are injured in really gruesome ways every year.
Right.
And the number I saw most recently for fatality, the fine was on average like $5,600. So if, I don't know, I guess it's, you know, the price of doing business is a $5,600 fine for, you know, killing a worker. Mm. And that's unacceptable.
Ken Sager, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest this afternoon. You know, unions have been on the decline for several decades. As we take a look at membership in unions, that continues to go down. Interestingly enough, and you touched on this just a moment ago, if we look at the statistics, the number of people that identify with the middle class also seems to be going down. Is that a coincidence?
There is no coincidence there. I mean, you can graphically...
How does that happen?
I think there's a variety of things that happen. I think you can go back in time, you know, in the 50s, probably one in three or better workers were engaged in a union. And inarguably, most people had a better life at that point in time when you think about the fact that a single income typically could support a family. Well, I tell you what, I don't know too many people that are in that kind of a circumstance today. Many people, you know, both the adults and the family typically are working. In many cases, people who don't have, you know, a decent job and are working minimum wage jobs, maybe working two or three of them, trying to cobble together some kind of a life.
Hmm. One of the other questions from that survey, that very informal survey that I did, is, and this came back several times as well, people said that they didn't think that people should be forced to join a union to get a job. But that's not reality, is it?
It's clearly not reality. Ever since about 1989, there was a court decision called CWA versus Beck. In that Beck decision, the Supreme Court said nobody can be forced to join a union. Okay, in Iowa in 1947, the state legislature and the state governor signed into law Right to Work, which is, I guess, an interesting title for the law, but it basically says you can't require people to be members of a union. So it's nice rhetoric from one side of the political spectrum. It doesn't actually fit reality, but in my experience, facts don't really weigh into political discussions too much anymore.
So when we get before we get into the trade deal partnership program, let me you just brought up Right to Work, and we had just this week or last week a story that was looking at Right to Work states versus other states that don't have that law. And it indicated that employees in right-to-work states are paid 3.1% less than what they are in non-right-to-work states. That amounts to $1,585 a year for the average worker. So what does that say to you?
Well, it should say to any rational thinking person that maybe there might be something to this whole union thing. If you think about it... I don't know what union dues average. Well, let's pick a number, say $500 a year. And you take the average number that you just quoted. If I have to pay you $500 a year to get $1,500 more, I think that's a pretty good bet in most casinos, isn't it?
I would think.
Yeah. And that doesn't even count things like having decent health care, having a pension, having time off, having safer workplaces. There are so many other things that come into the equation besides wages.
One of the things that we wanted to ask, Ken Sager, ladies and gentlemen, with the Iowa Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO, let's spend some time on this Trans-Pacific trade deal, if we can. This is something that President Obama and many in the House and Senate would want fast-tracked. They want to move forward with this thing. They say it's a great thing for the United States. It's a great thing for workers. The trade unions almost unilaterally have come out against this, while many business interests support the effort. And we've reported several times on why business interests think we need to move forward with the deal. What is it about this that unions don't like about the proposal?
Well, first off, the characterization that it's only unions opposing this, I don't think is quite accurate. There are many environmental groups and consumer groups and senior groups and a broad cross-section of people who are saying, You know, this really isn't the best deal. I mean, you think about it. First off, what's Fast Track? Fast Track is simply a method by which Congress gives up its constitutional right to participate in the system. All right? They get to vote yes or they get to vote no on the trade deal. And right now, they don't even know what it is they're going to be talking about because guess what? It's all secret.
This is something that just blows my mind. And I know Elizabeth Warren has been out on this time and time again, saying, if this is such a good deal, why don't you just make it public so that the people can have at least an opportunity to discuss it and that the elected representatives can also have a chance to weigh in on the discussion. But that's just not happening.
It's not happening. I think there's a handful of people who have access to look at it. They cannot take writing utensils in. They can't take paper in. They can't take any recording device in. I think there's probably less than 70 people in our congressional delegations collectively across the country who've even seen portions of this. Our understanding from sources like WikiLeaks is that of the 25 or 7 or 9 different chapters, only 5 of them actually deal with trade. And there's a lot of chapters that deal with things like extending patents on drugs. Well, all that does fundamentally is make sure that we're not going to get access to prescription drugs that are generic until many years later, costing the American society a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
Let's say, for example, that you know the Polk County or any of the counties or our state or our nation adopts some law that says, you know, we want to give preference to buying Iowa products or buying American products. Those would be outlawed by the trade agreement. Now, what does that have to do with trade?
Hmm.
Well, it has nothing to do with trade. What it has to do with is ensuring profits for corporations. We have out of extra legal, I guess, out of the country tribunals where corporations can take government entities to task to say, listen, we think your law is interfering with our ability to have a profit, and therefore we're suing your government. So if we pass laws in a democratic fashion in this country, we're opening our political subdivision, whether it's a city, a county, a state, a country, to paying, I don't know, blackmail effectively to some corporation.
Well, this is a little bit of a difficult position for many of the individuals that you've just talked about, the environmentalists, the
sure.
labor unions, in opposition to the President Obama. And is this a bit of an uncomfortable situation for?
Not in the least.
Okay.
Not in the least. See, one of the things that happens in our political system is everybody gets tied up in Democrat stuff or Republican stuff or whatever stuff, all right? It's like what we got to focus on is the issues. Fundamentally, the question at hand is this trade agreement good for the people of this country? Not good for corporations. Corporations seem to be able to take care of themselves. But the question is, does this promote the interests that are important to working people in this country, who are fundamentally the vast majority of people?
When we take a look at historical context for being a bit nervous about this, do we point to NAFTA?
Well, I think you could point to NAFTA. I think that you could point to CAFTA. I think that you could point to normalization of trade with China. I think you could point to the Korean Free Trade Agreement. Right on the heels of this Trans-Pacific Partnership is a partnership with Northern Europe. Where does this end? I mean, for decades, centuries, we've had the ability to have bilateral trade agreements that followed our Constitution. What the Fast Track thing basically says is Congress abdicate your congressional and constitutional mandate to be involved in trade. We're going to let the president do it. Well, really what's happening is the trade representative is doing it with the help of a number of multinational corporations who are graciously helping to write these trade deals. And I don't know about you. Maybe it's my union background, but I have a suspicion that maybe their interests aren't really our interests. But their interests are the shareholders and maybe a few other folks, but not all of us.
Ken Sager, ladies and gentlemen, kind enough to take some time and talk to us a bit about not only the trade agreement that we're talking about, but also the position of unions here in Iowa and across the United States. And I want to thank you for taking some time and coming in and talking about it.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
I really do appreciate it. Ken Sager, ladies and gentlemen, from the Iowa Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO. We're going to step aside for a quick moment or two. And when we come back, we'll take a look at that stock market today, what happened on Wall Street, and then the Iowa 25. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.